Sunday, July 22nd, 2012. This is the Sales Playbook Podcast. I'm your host, Paul Castain from YourSalesPlaybook.com. And today we're going to be talking about rethinking your customer touch points. Now, something very interesting happened the other day, and I guess everybody always thinks that their story is interesting. I truly hope this is interesting, because if not, I'm screwed, because I'm basing the whole podcast on what I think is an interesting story. So, man, I better come out of the gate strong here. But the other day, I mean, many of you may know, I've been kind of talking about it a little bit. My oldest now is going to be heading off to college, going to be going locally, but they had the first of, I guess it's going to be two or three orientations that they're going to be having over the next 30 days. And the first one, the parents get to go to. So we went to this orientation the other day. It was an all-day thing. I think it was on Thursday. And I was really impressed with the whole process. And I promise you, I'm going to tie this into today's topic in a moment. But let me tell you what impressed me. It was one of these things that even before the word go, it was just well thought out and well organized. The things that they sent us about the event were very informative, very, very clear cut, telling us where to go, maps on how to get there, an overview of what the day was going to look like, letting us know that they would be answering any and all questions that we might have. So anyway, so we get to this event, my son and I. We kind of had a divide and conquer. My wife was coming a little later. My son and I drove to the event first. When we get there, now, when you get on some of these universities, right, I mean, they're like mini cities, these places. They had that thought out. They realized that it could be overwhelming. I mean, imagine, especially to a first-time college student's family, right? So you have a lot of other things on your mind. A lot of emotional things, if you think about it, and they obviously did. They had plenty of signs and arrows. I mean, you truly would have had to have gone out of your way to try to get lost in order to get lost. They had it just so well mapped out. They even had people throughout the campus in these bright red shirts just kind of waving you on to where you needed to go. So anyway, we get out of the car. And we're following the signs, and there's a group of people there. They see us coming over, and they asked us, hey, are you here for the orientation? When we said, yeah, they gave us, I mean, you might think this is corny, but what the heck? They gave us a little cheer, which I thought was really cool. So starting off really well, giving us that kind of like wowing us from hello type of thing, we get in. Registration was real straightforward. It was quick. It was painless. They started on time. They went through the day. They had it well thought out. Now, here's where I'm going to do a timeout, because this is going to play into today's theme in a moment. They obviously had thought about things from our perspective. And let me just say that again. They thought about things, not from their perspective, from ours. And throughout the day, they had these topics picked. I mean, almost like they thought out what would be on our mind and what would be the top questions, and everything went very, very smoothly. There were people around throughout the day to answer your questions. They didn't rush people when they had questions. This impressed me, by the way, this next thing. And like I told you before, I promise you this is going somewhere. This next thing just totally wowed me. We're having lunch now, right? You got to eat. We're sitting there. We're eating right on campus. And someone comes over to us. Again, someone in one of those red shirts, clearly part of the team, came over to us. And this young man said, you know, I was wondering if you had any questions. Perhaps you didn't get a chance to get one of your, or two or three of your questions answered. I'm here to answer your question. And wouldn't you know it, we had some questions. He read our mind. Again, it goes back to something that you're going to see play through the theme of today's podcast. They took the time to think about things. Once again, here we go. Sorry for the repetition. From our perspective, and when you think about it, and you put yourselves in the place, and those of you who are listening to this who are either going through it right now or have been through it with your kids going off to college, there's a lot of emotions, there's a lot of questions, there's a lot of overwhelm, there's a lot of deadlines, there's a lot of paperwork, there's a lot of finance. So you have a roller coaster of emotions, and they seem to have a firm grasp on what we were going through. But also, one thing I know from training, I know this from my webinars that I do, people sometimes will not want to ask a question for whatever reason. Maybe they feel funny. Maybe they feel like it's a stupid question, and they just kind of remain silent. It doesn't mean that there isn't something pressing on their mind. Maybe they would just got shy or they felt funny to come after us like that and see if there was anything on our mind. In our case, we just didn't have a chance to ask the question. But in our case, there was something else that happened as we sat down and compared notes. My wife had gone to some different breakouts than I did. Again, it was a divide and conquer type of day. We had some questions that we were putting together that we needed to ask when we went back into the sessions. They came to us, and I love that. So I could go on and on and on. But here is where the point is going to be today. That, in fact, let me just say one other thing, and then I'll get to the point. The thing that I really liked, when I stopped and I thought about it today when I was putting together my thoughts for this podcast, God knows how many times they've been through this ritual of an orientation. And this team that's been there, I'm sure this wasn't their first rodeo, so to speak, that they've done it before. But you would think that they truly understood the way they were acting, that this was our first time. It doesn't matter how many times they've been through it. What truly was important is understanding it as if it were your first time going through it. It was that experience of being a parent and having this child, right, that you've known your whole life, obviously, bringing up since they were a baby, going to college and understanding what we were going through. So kudos to them. And kudos to you if you can take this now and put it into a business perspective. And that's where we're going to go today, because what I think this represents is a group of people who thought about every touch point in the experience of that orientation. And what if we now were to think about it from the customer's perspective now? Let's get away from orientation now. Let's talk about you. Let's talk about me. Let's talk about business and sales. Let's talk about all the touch points. When was the last time you truly sat down and mapped out every touch point in the customer experience? Every single touch point from when they are, even before they're a customer, when they're kind of admiring you from afar, up to the point where, you know, you shake hands, you put ink on paper, POs are signed, checks are cut, orders are placed, and servicing the account, and even, you know, kind of, I hate to say it, but almost like your first fight, right? In a marriage, you know, there's going to be a first fight, there's going to be a disagreement. In this case, it might be a screw-up, it might be, have you thought out all those things and how it looks like, not from your rose-colored glasses perspective, but from the client's perspective. So have a few tips for you today, as always. I didn't want to just sit here, be philosophical, and spin a bunch of tales about my son going off to college, man. I don't expect you to really care about that. But man, I got a few things to talk to you about. So let's talk about a few things in no particular order. I kind of jotted these down in a hurry today. So if it seems like I'm bouncing all over the place, it's because I am. I'm going to be real straight up honest with you. So here's the deal. I think the first thing that we have to do is, and I'm sorry that you've heard me say this so many times, definite Paulism coming at you in 3, 2, 1. You do have to fire yourself. I always talk about mentally firing yourself, rehiring yourself as a customer of yours, and thinking about things truly and purely from their perspective, not yours, and certainly not your rose-colored glasses perspective, their perspective. And you need to think about the things that would be troubling you if you were them. Because many times we're buying something because we have some pain, or we need something fixed or whatever, or maybe there are things going on in our world that are stressful. And let me just give you an example. And let's just think about travel industry and when you go to a hotel. If you owned a hotel, right, and your name is Hilton, right? Congratulations, you've been promoted to the Hilton chain of family, right? Family of hotels. And if you were to think about it from the client's perspective, when they come and check in, many times people are in not the greatest mood. I know I try to be pleasant, man, but man, I've been in and out of sometimes 2 airports that day, sometimes 3. Sometimes I've been at it since early in the morning. I'm a little stressed. I'm away from my family. You guys know I'm a family type of guy. Also, too, there might have been some screw-ups that day. There might have been multiple screw-ups. My flight might have been late. There might have been some mix-up with my seats or something with maybe transportation from the airport. I might have missed a flight. there's a whole variety of things. So by the time I get to that hotel, I'm just in a no-nonsense type of mood. So if you were that person, you need to understand those things. Well, you need to do that with your business, right? I mean, it's probably not that easy that you're in the hotel industry and the hotel business, but you got to do it for your business. What would be the things by the time they get to you that might be really bothering them or annoying them? What's going on in their world? Even going to the point and filling in the blank here, a person who buys my product typically has these types of overall concerns that go beyond my product or service. This way you can understand what's going on in their world. I mean, another quick example, purchasing people. I mean, is it possible that they're managing multiple relationships? Maybe it bothers them dealing with salespeople. I know it's a horrible thing to say, but it's the truth. Could it be that they have their internal customers call them and say, hey man, where the heck is that stuff I ordered? Come on. Right? And maybe they have it from a bunch of different departments and stuff. Maybe they're like that guy in Office Space, right? When he screws up, he gets chewed out by seven different bosses. You remember that? In the beginning when they were looking for all the damn TPS reports or whatever. But we can go on and on and on. But do you know your customers' pains? And here's the mistake. Many people, we were all taught this way, to look for the pain. I have news for you folks. Don't listen to anybody tells you that there's always pain, because there's not always pain. And those are those moments when you're always searching for pain and it just goes kind of blank with the customer, like they have nothing. If they don't have any pain, then you need to be looking also for opportunity. What could be some of the opportunities that this person would really love that maybe you can help facilitate? So you got to think about it from both perspectives. And finally, and then I'm going to move on to some brand new material. So I'm sorry for this long-winded bit of repetition. You also have to go beyond that. And you need to look at what the typical questions would be for these potential customers in the beginning, all the way through to where they are existing customers at every single touch point. What would be the every single touch point and every single stage of their buying process? So when you're at the very beginning of a buying process, maybe at that point, you know, they're looking for information. They want to be able to check you out safely and anonymously. Are you making that easy for them? Do you have things in there to easily and seamlessly take them through that? So you need to look at it from that perspective. As well, I want to throw some other things at you. How about the online experience? Have you ever looked at your website from a potential client's perspective? I mean, for example, I mean, is it easy to navigate? And I'm sorry if I mispronounce this, because I just like never say this word. And it's one of those words that I type a million times. But I don't know about you. I hate those damn, what are they, CAPTCHA codes they're called? I hate them. I absolutely hate them. And here's why. It's like a freaking sobriety test that I fail every single time. And here's the other thing, folks. They scare the hell out of me, because I'm 47 years old and I'm thinking someday I'm going to be like this old senile old man trying to do stuff online. And I can imagine if I'm having trouble now with these things, because like you're typing the stuff in, it's saying wrong. It's like, you know, like call me a hacker or something, dude. I'm just trying to get in here and navigate your damn website, and I'm getting like this sobriety test that I keep failing. So those things can be very irritable. So I make you really annoyed. And meanwhile, you might have other things on your mind. I'm not saying get rid of it, but man, you might want to like talk to your web designer, man. If there's some like ridiculous thing where it's like the equivalent that you have to speak like 70 different languages and run a triathlon backwards or something like that to do it, might want to rethink it, because you're not making it easy. And you got to understand something. And sorry for the real Captain Obvious moment, but when something is difficult, we often just move on. It's easier. We default to next. So you got to think about that. Next, and speaking of next, on this online experience thing, your contact information. This sounds like such an obvious thing, but I'm telling you, recently, in fact, I think it was either today or yesterday, I was in the market for something. I went to someone's website. I could not figure out how to get in touch with the guy. It's like I felt like here I am. I'm waving like a handful of money, and I don't know how to get a hold of you. I can't. It's like I have to break. I think seriously with this guy's website, I could have found like the launch codes for the nuclear arsenal easier than finding this guy's damn contact information. So we have to be very, very mindful of that. And also, too, you want to give people contact options. So one of the things I just did on my site recently is I put up a few different ways to contact me right there in just plain sight. And I even just used a funky like lime green color to get the eye on there. And what I do is I have, if you click on it, well, actually, if you look at it, it says my phone number. And if you click on it, it takes you right into a form that you fill out and it'll automatically email me. So you want to make it easy with that stuff. Give them at least two choices. Let's move on. Next, how about the ordering process? When was the last time you looked at the process that's involved when people need to order from you? Now, I know people, the only way that they can order is through a salesperson, but yet that salesperson is like never available. Is that the best thing for your customer? Is that, again, you got to remember, when something is difficult, we've been sort of spoiled right now, and we've been sort of conditioned for this instant type of world that we're in right now. We just want to click a mouse and be done. So if we've got to do all this navigating and calling and all this stuff, and it might be something that literally takes 3 minutes to do, 3 minutes nowadays, it's almost like it might as well be 3 years to some people. We have become very impatient because it's an instant society right now that we're living in. So you might want to look at your ordering policies that you have and your ordering procedure, but also your policies. There are some just absolutely just stupid ordering policies that some companies have, that if you don't do it by a certain time, and if you're the seventh son of the seventh son of the seventh son, and you didn't know the secret high son and all this other stuff, I mean, it's just ridiculous, right? So you got to be careful about that stuff. Look at it from their perspective. I'd even go as far as to ask your customers what they think of this and just leave your ego in the car and take your medicine. Because you know what? It's pissing them off whether you ask them or not. So you might as well just ask them and find out what's going on and do something about it. It's really important that you look at things from their side. So look at the policies. But now let's go to something else that goes right in with this. How is the communication process while there's an order in place, while there's something live going on? Are you communicating proactively? Is it easy for them to get in touch with you? Are you being sensitive to what they might be going through? Are you being sensitive to the fact that if you were them, maybe you'd want to be being updated? I don't know. But, you know, maybe in there too, you need to find out, and this sounds kind of silly, but the best way to contact your customer when there's a live order. I mean, you've heard me say this before. We all have our preferred method of contact and communication, and yours might not necessarily be your clients. You might think, well, I'd want an email. Well, no, maybe they want a phone call, or God forbid, maybe they want like a meeting or a conference call. It doesn't matter. You got to find out. And asking, I always like to ask that question up front, by the way. Whenever I meet someone for the first time, that's one of the questions that I'll ask. Hey, should we do business together? What is the best way for me to communicate with you? And I'll find out right at that point. But the other thing that I like to do is find out what would be the quickest way for me to get a hold of them if there's something going on. It's very, very important to do, because if you have anything that comes up, and I know this is a dumb moment, folks, but not everybody does it. It could be as simple as just having their direct line, and you never ask for it, and you're always calling through the switchboard, but now it's after hours. What do you do? So it's very, very good to do that and have that information at the ready. But there's more things, and I'm going to go through these other ones quickly. How about when there's a problem? Have you ever looked at that customer touch point? Who are the people that would be talking to your customer if there's a problem? Is it you? Is it a dedicated CSR? I mean, who is it? Is it the president of the company? Are these things documented? Do you have a policy in place that these things must be handled or responded to, or a problem or a job ticket written up within a certain amount of time? And I bring this up because a lot of companies simply don't have a policy. And they say, well, we just handle it as it happens. See, that's not good enough. That doesn't work. You have to think about these things ahead of time, like these young students did. These were 22 and 23-year-olds, and in some cases younger than that, that were doing this orientation. If they could think it out, certainly you could do it with your business that probably listening to this, there are people here managing multiple millions of dollars. So we can certainly do it for that if we can do it over at the college. The other thing, too, that you have to look at, you need to look at the person who's, and this is an important one, the person who answers the phone when people call in. I mean, sometimes there is a switchboard and you're calling into some automated system. You need to look at that too, because some of those things are annoying. And I find, I don't know about you guys, like I'm calling some of these companies, especially credit card companies and things like that. I've had it with my bank, and it's like I was out of state and I needed to take care of something. And I feel like I'm playing like not even 20 questions. I'm playing 50 questions. And it's like I just need to get this damn thing resolved, man. And it's like I feel like I'm going through an entire interrogation here. Like I should like have my attorney present. And it's all automated. Like I have no choices here but their choices. And you need to look at it from that perspective. But you also need to look at, if there's a live person answering your phone, you need to look at how this person is coming across, because I'm not here to bash these people. I'm going to tell you something good, I'm going to tell you something bad, but I'm sure we've all been on the receiving end of somebody that really should have been stowed away in the back or fired, man, that was just miserable with people and not very, very nice. Very, very quickly, because I want to put a positive spin on this, I've worked with several clients that call this person answering the phone the vice president or director of first impressions, because that's what they are. Either the director or vice president of first impressions. You got to take it that seriously. Something else, major peeve of mine, it's a customer touch point. You ever call up a place, you ask for directions, the person doesn't know? Are you kidding me? You got to know. That's ridiculous. That's asinine. People are going to call you unless you work in a, like I work right now. I work right out of the house. So I don't have like some Castain Training Systems World headquarters. So I'm really not going to be giving directions to the house. But even so, shame on me if I don't know the directions to, you know, my own house. That's another story, right? Maybe if you catch me when I'm drunk or something like that, I can't do that. But man, but some of these people, it's like the owners of businesses and senior executives listening to this, like today, I want you, well, it's Sunday, Monday, right? I want you to go to these people and almost do like, either talk to them one-on-one or do like that secret shopping thing. Ask somebody for directions. And if somebody can't talk you into the airport, man, they either need to like learn that skill or get the hell off the phone. The other thing too, and it's the same thing, and it just drives me crazy. If people are coming in contact with a customer and the customer asks them, hey, how do I get there? And it's probable that they might be coming to see you. They need to know the directions too. I mean, I know companies that have it written out and by the phone, and they should know the general area. For me to hear from somebody, well, I'm not from around here. Well, it's really not my problem that you're not from around here. Hey, thanks for not caring about me. I'm not from around here either. I'd like to know how the hell to give you my money and get there. So very important that you do that. Sorry for that rant. I think another thing too, you need to think of things from the perspective of billing. Are your bills and your invoices straightforward, easy to understand? Hopefully no surprises. That's something to think about too. Now I could go on and on and on, but I do want to kind of wrap up on a couple of quick notes with you. What I want you to do, I want you to seriously think about all the customer touch points that you have. Think about it by firing yourself mentally, rehiring yourself as them. Think about it like they would. The other thing that you might want to do, and this one is for the bold and the people willing to take a risk only. Go to your customers. Do that meeting that I've often talked about where, and it's not my concept, it's a well-known concept, a stop, start, continue conversation where you ask people, hey, is there anything that we're doing you'd like to see us stop doing, right? That's your stop. And then, you know, perhaps the start question, is there anything that we're not doing that we should start doing and continue is, anything that we're doing that you particularly like that you'd like to see more of that we should by all means make a note to self to continue providing for you? Those things are very, very important. Customer surveys are important. But here's where it starts, folks. It starts with your willingness to stop saying, hey, it's not my job, right? A lot of us do that. We think it's somebody else's job. But this affects us as sales professionals. So here's what I want to do. Number one, I want to invite you to take and display some personal leadership on this. Take a look at all these customer touch points. Really take a look at it and answer this question. When was the last time you challenged the way things were being done? And this is the way we've always done things. It no longer flies, folks. That is a death rattle in today's business world. The other thing that I want to see, hopefully, business leaders, the vice presidents of sales managers, business owners, please get your team together. This should be a meeting. This is the stuff you need to be talking about as a total team. Do this exercise where you all fire yourself. Look at every touch point. Challenge it. Make sure that it is customer friendly. And I promise you, if you do those things, it'll make a big difference in your business and you're going to start to stand out and begin the process of doing something of that we like to call competitor-proofing your business. So with that, I'm Paul Castain from YourSalesPlaybook.com. I am wishing you an incredible week ahead. Go get them. The Sales Playbook Podcast is a Castain Training Systems production.